स्पृष्टा ये चान्यान असदाश्रिता ब्राह्म्यते धीर नथर भक्त्याय आत्मान युपात मनोहरो Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to all the evidences of the Vedas, He is accepted by all Acharyas, including Sripad Shankaracharya. But when He was present in the world, different classes of men accepted Him differently, and therefore their calculations of the Lord were also different. Generally, persons who had faith in the revealed scriptures accepted the Lord as He is, and all of them merged into great bereavement when the Lord disappeared from the world. In the first canto, we have already discussed the lamentation of Arjuna and Yudhisthira, to whom the disappearance of Lord Krishna was almost intolerable up to the end of their lives. Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. In this sloka from the third canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the platform of nishtha, or firm, resolute faith, is being described. In the beginning of our spiritual lives, there is some extent of shraddha, or faith. And our advancement is determined and dependent on to the degree in which this faith is cultivated. Because the Supreme Absolute Truth is beyond the perception of the mundane senses, the mundane mind, the mundane intelligence. The Absolute Truth cannot be understood through rational means. Lord Krishna and His various incarnations, when they appear in this world, they often behave in such a way that is completely beyond the comprehension or the feasibility of the rational mind. Just like the other day, the brahmacharis during lunch, prasad, they read from Krishna book, and it was being described how many servants and bodyguards King Ugrasena had in the small island of Dwarka. Billions. He had more personal bodyguards than the population of the whole planet today, which we call overcrowded. Everyone is talking about the population explosion and how there should be birth control. And usually birth control means all sorts of atrocious, violent techniques of murder. Unnatural. And they're talking about how by the year 2000, what the population of the world will be. Such a concern. But what to speak of the basic residents of Dwarka? Maharaj Ugrasena's bodyguards were far more than the population of the whole world, and they were all living on the little island of Dwarka. And yet we don't read about traffic jams. We don't read about people in their chariots crashing into each other on the roads during rush hour. Nor do we read about a scarcity of food. They were not importing their foods from other places. It was all right there from Dwarka. So it is impossible for the mind to comprehend. It is beyond rational thought. But that's why Krishna comes to this world, to display his achintya shakti, that he is beyond our rational ability of comprehension. The story that is often told of when Narada Muni went to the Brahman and the cobbler, and Vishnu said, tell them when you see them that I'm threading an elephant through eye of needle. And the Brahman said, impossible, no one can do. But the cobbler said, oh, how nice, he's threading elephants through eyes of needle. And when Narada asked, how you believe this? How can an elephant fit through eye of needle? And he said, you look at this banyan tree, how big it is. And you look at this little seed. In this seed there is a banyan tree. My Lord has done like this. Right before your eyes there are miracles that he is performing. What is it that the Lord cannot do? If we can understand that he who creates this entire creation, what he can do is beyond our comprehension. Even through technology. Some years ago, we would write books. And then we would type books. And now you can put thousands of books in one little computer disk. Yes, Radhakrishna? I don't know. I think you know better than me. But you can do. All of Prabhupada's books, everything Prabhupada ever said, all the there's 35 volumes of conversation books. There's about 40 volumes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18 volumes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have all these books, and it takes up huge bookshelf. But now, it's all on one disc this big. How is it possible? Some technology, some mundane technology. But Krishna, what he can do? He's the one who created the brain that's making all these discs and everything else of the technology. It's hard for an ordinary man to fathom how they're creating these airplanes and how they navigate themselves in the air at night. Oh, you're just flying in the middle of the night over the ocean and you're going specifically toward a particular destination. We don't understand how it works, but they know because they have some advanced science. But Krishna is the supreme scientist. He can do anything in any way as he likes. He could put all the residents of Dwarka, hundreds and billions of people, on the head of a needle, and they could all be living together peacefully without ever bumping into each other. They could be having nice sports, dancing, chanting everywhere. Krishna can do anything because he is the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. But this can only be understood by the grace of the Lord, not by our intelligence or our rational thought. And therefore, repeatedly, it is described in the scriptures that Krishna can only be comprehended, even to a small extent, by one who receives his mercy. And there's no other way. And that mercy comes through faith. At the beginning, we are not very advanced in our spiritual life. So we are dependent on faith to give us the courage and the conviction by which we will take to the path of purification, by which we can realize and understand these things. Therefore, faith is critical to our spiritual progress. And in the beginning stages, because of our conditioned nature, we are extremely subjected to being influenced by our surroundings. You know how it is when you're trying to make a decision and then somebody comes and says, that's not what you should do. Then, oh no, now I don't know what to do. And then somebody else says, actually you should do like this. Yes, yes, I'll do like this. And somebody else says, actually, I know better than you. That's not right. In our regular day, how much we are influenced by various opinions, observations, and how much we become indecisive and confused. To make progress in Krishna consciousness, you have to be willing to endeavor to give up material sense enjoyment. And you have to be willing to give up the speculations of your mind. And these are things we have been habituated to since time immemorial. It is very difficult. It's very unnatural for us, according to our conditioning. And therefore, it is a very, very sensitive matter to pursue. And we need faith. We need support. Because to progress in spiritual life, you have to go against all the propaganda of the current of material nature. Because material nature, Maya, the illusory potency, is systematically trying to program you to think that you are the enjoyer and that this world is yours to exploit to your heart's content. And that is why we go to college to get educated, so that we can become more proficient at exploiting material nature. And even in our own families, we're being coaxed on so much to make it in this world under the conception that you are this body, this family is your relationships, this nation is your relationships. Everything is bodily concept. But when we come to the door of Bhagavad Gita and it begins to open, we see a whole different world, that we're not these bodies. We are all the eternal souls. We're all part of Krishna. The whole humanity, all creatures on earth, all creatures in existence are our family members. And in order to understand the real purpose and the real fulfillment of life, we have to surrender to what we cannot see, we cannot touch. And the whole world is teaching you to get as much of these things that you can see and touch to enjoy as possible. So there has to be faith. This is the basic principle of spiritual life. And faith comes by associating with people who have faith, or people who are striving for the same faith. And that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Asat Sangatyaga Avaishnavachar. You want to advance in spiritual life, you associate with Vaishnavas. And do not keep very intimate, close relationships with people who have no faith. Because unless your faith in God is stronger than their faith in the illusory energy, they will change you more than you could change them. But here it is explaining that those who have completely surrendered to the Lord, they have such faith that under no circumstances by anyone can they be bewildered. And that is what we are striving for. Our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, his faith was like an unshakable mountain. Didn't matter what anybody of this world said. Krishna said one thing, and that was fact. There was nothing else to consider. Huh? It says in the Bhagavatam that they can't go to the moon. Prabhupada said they didn't go. He didn't have to do any research. He said they cheated, they didn't go. And then later on, the scientists themselves, so many came and said, they all cheated, they didn't go. Prabhupada told us that 20 years ago. 25 years ago. Srila Prabhupada did not want us to put our faith in the speculations of conditioned souls. He wanted us to put our faith in the scripture, to put our faith in the great masters who have preserved the dignity of the scriptures throughout the generations. That is real faith. But in this age, people are very scientifically oriented. Therefore, their faith has to be based on sound philosophy, which is presented in a very scientific manner. And this is one of the great reasons why religion in spirit is dying in this world, especially here in India. Oftentimes we go to give lectures in colleges and we find how thirsty these young people are to understand the higher truths of life and how starving they are. Because taking birth in India, by nature, they have faith in the absolute truth. It's the heritage of everyone in this land. But due to the scientific training of Western education, people are trained to doubt. People are brainwashed to doubt anything unless you could show me right in front of my eyes. And when they see their parents performing rituals, and they ask, why? What is this ritual? And you tell them, well, we don't know. It's just what you're supposed to do. It's what our fathers and mothers did, and our great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers. Everyone does like this. When they hear some mundane, and unscientific, unphilosophical explanation, they utterly reject the rituals as being old-fashioned and useless in the modern world, an impediment to any progress in life. And in many ways, they're right. Because the rituals of religious movements, real religious movements, are meant to be expressions of a very deep scientific, philosophical conviction and a process by which that conviction can bring about realization and experience. That is what ritual is for. But if there's no philosophical conviction of the truth behind it or what's really trying to be experienced and realized by it, then it's just dry ritual. Dogma, they say. And therefore, the youth of India is rejecting their culture. and they're accepting the Western culture because it's more practical, because everything is based on what I can see and what I can touch. It's real. All this going to temples and yajñas and pujas, it's all just superstition. But when these same young people hear the Vedic explanation, according to Srimad Bhagavat, according to Bhagavad Gita, which is presented in such a systematic, scientific, and profoundly philosophical way, they'll give their lives in the spirit of surrender. And they'll perform everything. And then their parents become worried. You shouldn't take this devotion so seriously, because it has its place. It's a ritual you perform on Sunday. We've been trying to convince you this of all your life and you didn't want to do it. Now you want to give your whole life. This is fanaticism. It's not fanaticism. It's that they understand the meaning behind it. And therefore, naturally, they want to surrender. And this is the greatest need. And if such people, of whatever age, if they're given the proper atmosphere to hear the truth, to hear the philosophy and teachings of Bhagavad Gita, to hear from the proper spiritual sources, from authorized speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam Gita, of the glories of the Lord, then it creates an awakening of deeper and greater faith. And as it is said, faith can move mountains. There is nothing that is more powerful in all of creation than faith in God. And I can give you evidence. What is the most powerful force in this whole creation? Time. And through time, everyone has to die. Death is the ultimate of life for a materialistic person. And with all of our nuclear missiles, and with all of our rocket ships, and of all of our computer technology, and all of our medical technology, no one has been able to conquer death. But faith in God in this life can overcome all fear of death. And faith in God can actually step upon the head of death and walk right over him. This is explained in Bhagavad. What is more powerful than such faith? Nothing. Prahlad Maharaj was an example of this. His father, Hiranyakashipu, he was such a demon. He was so strong that he conquered Indra. He conquered all the devatas. They were all his obedient servants. The whole universe was acting under his direction. If he wanted a nice breeze, Vayu would send the breeze exactly the way he wanted it. Whatever temperature he wanted the sun, Surya would make it just like that. Who has that power today? But Prahlad, he heard from Narada, and he heard attentively. And he heard so deeply that there was a foundation of unflinching faith in his heart. And even the greatest conqueror, Hiranyakashipu, he used all of his resources and all the power he had in all of his kingdom to try to change Prahlad, to brainwash him and convince him to accept his way of thinking. And he had systematic education taught by Shanda and Amarka to somehow or other change this five-year-old child's mind from faith in God to faith in material nature, the mind and the senses. But Prahlad could not be disturbed. Hiranyakashipu gave Prahlad deadly poison, enough to kill thousands of grown men. And Prahlad knew that it was deadly poison. And he offered it to Krishna, and he ate it. Because he understood, Krishna, if you want to save me, it doesn't matter how much poison my father put in this, he cannot kill me. When he was thrown into a pit of deadly, hungry serpents, poisonous vipers, Prahlad had complete faith that if Krishna wants to protect me, there's nothing all the snakes in the world could do to harm one hair on my head. This is faith. And because of that faith, Prahlad overcame all obstacles. And the whole world was against him, but it could not shake him. What is more powerful than this faith? There is no greater wealth than to have such faith. Because in that faith, Krishna manifests himself within our hearts. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the spiritual master gives the seed of bhakti. And that bhakti is faith. And we have to protect it. We have to build a fence around it by keeping good association, by hearing regularly from those sources that nourish our faith. Because as you know, in our life, sometimes our faith is strong and sometimes our faith is weak, depending on our condition of mind and depending on the conditions of the environment around us. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that this faith, in order to keep it strong, it has to be nourished every day. Just like faith means spiritual strength, physical strength. If we do not eat, we become weak. We cannot do our duty properly. Therefore, you eat regularly. Good health means regulation. Any proper doctor will tell you that if you want to keep good health, you should have regular diet. You should eat at certain times of the day, certain proper foods. If you just eat any time in any way, then your health will deteriorate after a due course of time. Sometimes when we fast, we become very weak. We need food. In the same way, when we're out in this world, whether we're in an ashram or whether we're in our gainful employment, we should know that the material energy is opposing everything we're doing. And we need spiritual strength to overcome it at every minute. And that strength comes through sadhana, through regularly associating with saintly persons, through regularly hearing the truth of Krishna consciousness from them, through regularly reading the scriptures with the illustrious commentaries by great realized souls like Srila Prabhupada, by regularly chanting the holy names attentively. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And by very much being cautious of hearing from those sources that can bewilder our faith. and by also being very careful to follow regulative principles. Because those activities against the regulative principles unnecessarily incite uncontrolled experiences in our senses, which ignite uncontrolled experiences in our mind. And when the mind becomes uncontrolled, it can cause great damage to our faith. So therefore, it is a very scientific and perfect process of how to develop our faith and remain strong spiritually in every circumstance throughout our life. And it is very important. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, the one who thinks that he can be Krishna conscious without the association of devotees is in an illusion. We require that support to maintain, preserve, and develop our faith. And as we develop, we actually can perceive by Krishna's arrangement and by his mercy that whatever is said in the scripture is fact. However utterly extraordinary it is to our rational way of thinking, Krishna can do anything, at any time, anywhere. And the greatest, most wonderful of all of his pastimes is how he shows his mercy to his devotees. How he subordinates himself to the love of his devotees. And therefore, to achieve that love is our only purpose and destination in this human form of life. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj was supposed to come and give class tonight, but just as we were leaving, he was receiving phone calls. So he may come, but he may not come also. Is there any question?
Prahlad Maharaj was there.
Rishabhanu Prabhu is the head of the
chemistry
department of Bombay University. And yet he has complete faith that Krishna is the source of all chemicals.
Hari Babu.
Yes.
Prahlad Maharaj was a young boy and very innocent in heart, and possibly he could develop very strong faith. But some of us who are in this world, we get overwhelmed by worldly activities, and though we make attempts to develop strong faith.
He was not the chairman of the chemistry department.
Our faith, you know, wavers all the time, Maharaj. I mean, despite so-called efforts on our part. What does one do? I mean,
despite
our earnestness to develop faith, it keeps on wavering from time to time. It doesn't ever become steady. I just wanted to know what one ought to be doing under the circumstances.
Just like you're doing, you should be longing for that faith. You should be begging for that faith. And you should be accepting whatever is favorable to cultivating that faith and rejecting whatever is unfavorable. Just what you are doing. And when Krishna sees that you are sincere, gradually he will give you that spiritual strength to overcome all obstacles. Haribo. So we have kirtan because we started late. Hare Krishna. because their perception of their consciousness is on the spiritual platform. They are not trying to understand what is beyond the senses through their sense perception. They are not trying to understand what is beyond the mind with their mental considerations. You can only understand Krishna through submissiveness, sincerity, and faith. And if you have that, Krishna reveals everything to you through realization. Okay.